One Trick Dog by Bruce Boston. Mr. Wayne was taking his daily exercise, walking Arthur around the lake at Nevely Park, when the sky darkened and a light snow began to fall. A few flakes fluttered against his cheeks. He could feel the cold through his heavy topcoat. He enjoyed the park when it was deserted, but at his age he couldn't afford a chill. He thumbed the control in his pocket. Arthur turned left onto a bridge that would cut their journey by a good half mile. Mr. Wayne followed. It was a low, narrow structure, slightly arched, with concrete pilings and flanged metal guardrails that leaned over the water. Several lampposts stretched along its length remained unlit. As he approached the center of the bridge, Mr. Wayne noticed a man leaning on one railing. He too had a dog, which was on a leash. With a robo-dog, there was no need for a leash, but Mr. Wayne knew that some people liked to pretend their pets were real. The man stood at one side of the bridge, no more than 10 feet wide, staring across the water. His dog stood at the other side. The leash, stretched tautly between them, blocked Mr. Wayne's passage. As Arthur neared the pair, he gave a growl from low in his throat. A programmed reaction. Mr. Wayne flipped a control. Arthur stopped and sank back on his haunches. The stranger looked up. He was a tall, large-boned man. A parka, its hood tightly cinched against the cold, made his face appear round and moonlike. Mr. Wayne nodded toward the dog, expecting the man to rein him in so he could pass.
"Ah, I see you've noticed Roscoe. Got him this morning. Say hello, Roscoe."
The dog turned toward Mr. Wayne. He raised one paw and gave a syrupy yelp.
"He's GT's latest model, top of the line."
"Very nice," Mr. Wayne nodded.
The animal was also large, standing a good hand over Arthur. In terms of canine anatomy, Mr. Wayne observed, the design was unrealistic. It looked like a cross between a Labrador and a lion. The coat was sleek black, the head was shaggy and hulking. There was something decidedly feline about the skull, and the teeth seemed all wrong.
"He's entirely nuclear-powered," the man went on. "A self-contained unit."
"Nice,"
Mr. Wayne repeated. The sky had grown darker. Snow sifted down more rapidly. Couldn't the man see that he wanted to pass? He took a step forward. The leash was still stretched across the bridge.
"What have you got there?" the stranger asked.
Mr. Wayne paused.
"What?"
"Your dog. What model is it?"
"He's a Shepherd 7B, Mr. Wayne answered. "Government issue," he added without apology.
The man laughed.
"I didn't even know the government made dogs."
"They don't anymore," Mr. Wayne informed him. "Arthur's from the war. He'll be 38 in April.
"Well, fancy that," the stranger said. "An army surplus dog."
He approached more closely. The leash went slack, but he was still blocking the way. He squatted down in front of Arthur, who ignored him.
"Well, can't say I'm crazy about the lines, and the coat's a little motley, but I guess they made them to last in those days."
"That's how shepherds are supposed to look," Mr. Wayne told him. "His coat was for camouflage, but it's well within the natural color range."
He could have told the man that in his youth he had trained real dogs and that he had been there when the Arthur series was designed and they had even incorporated some of his ideas. He wouldn't give him the satisfaction. The man stood up.
"Does he do tricks?"
"Tricks?"
Mr. Wayne said. Several snowflakes had just found their way past his collar and were melting on his neck. He could feel the dampness invading his bones and repressed a shiver.
"Yeah, like Roscoe. Watch this."
The man turned back to his dog. He raised one hand and wiggled his fingers.
"The controls are all in the glove. What do you think of that?
But I like to talk to him, too. Makes it seem more realistic.
Come on, Roscoe. Roll over, boy."
Mr. Wayne watched as Roscoe rolled over, played dead, and walked on his hind legs. The movements were jerky and mechanical. Nothing like a real dog. Few people were left who would notice the difference.
"He's an amazing animal,"
Mr. Wayne lied to cut the performance short. He was desperate to be rid of the man and on his way. A thin white coating now dusted the bridge. He'd have to hurry or he'd be trudging home in the snow. His feet would be soaked. Now if he just stepped a little to one side and signaled Arthur to follow.
"No, wait, wait!"
The man once again stood in his path.
"There's another trick you have to see. Come on, boy, show the man your special trick."
Roscoe trotted over to Mr. Wayne and raised one leg. Mr. Wayne jumped back awkwardly, nearly losing his balance as the yellow arc streamed into the fresh snow. He was sure some of it had splashed on his trousers.
"Almost got you with that one!"
The man was laughing so hard he was bent over.
But don't worry, man. It's only colored water.
Mr. Wayne was silent for a moment. When he spoke, his voice was very even.
Yes, he said.
Yes?
The man said, wiping his eyes with the back of his glove.
Yes, Mr. Wayne repeated. My dog knows a trick.
Well, let's see it then, the man said. Mr. Wayne released the safety.
That was J.C. Hutchins reading for Escape Pod. Find us on the web at escapepod.org.